Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gunnable AB Q4 report. For the first part of the call, all participants will be in listen-only mode, and afterwards there will be a question and answer session. Today, I am pleased to present Stéphane Suyrin, President and CEO. Please begin.
Thank you very much, and good morning, everybody. Stéphane Suyrin, I have been now Gunnable's President and CEO since November 2019, and this is my first meeting with you and my first report as well. And today we have released our report for the fourth quarter of 2019. I also have Susanne Larsson with me, who is the group CFO, and Karin Wallström Nordén, who is responsible for marketing, IR, and communications. As you know, our quarterly calls now I will follow now the sequence of the slides that you have in the presentation, which is available on our website. And I will try also to let you know where I am. If you start with the agenda, I will cover now the Q4 and the year-to-date 2019, as well as talk about some specifics there on the business units that we are driving. Susanne will then cover the financial update, and then I will revert and wrap up and talk a little bit about the 2020 plan and agenda that we have. If you look at 2019, it was a very eventful year for Gunnebo. We are on a change journey towards a well-performing Gunnebo, and we are doing a lot of things to get there. And we launched and implemented fully the global business unit approach and structure last year, where also Asia and Americas were converted to these business unit approach. And as you know, we have four business units, whereof we call three core, and that's the safe storage, entrance control, and cash management, and also integrated security, which I will cover a little bit specifically today. We also launched a cost efficiency program in Q2, and that is, I can say, being implemented according to plan, and I will come back to some more details a bit later on. We did the acquisition and integration of Cominfo, where I'm very, very pleased with the way that Robert and his team in entrance control have handled that, and that also shows that we can acquire and integrate very good and well-performing companies into Gunnebo. We did the rights issue in Q3, where we used roughly 250 million out of that for acquisitions already. And I also initiated a strategic overview of integrated security, which I will come back to later. And as I said also in my introduction, I took the reins in November, even though I've been with Gunnebo a little bit more than a year before that. And I have also then worked a lot with setting up my new team going forward that shall work together to improve Gunnebo, to build this excellent company that we have on our head and minds. If you look then at, I'm turning page now to the quarter four 2019, we saw a decline in order intake for Q4. However, we are moving into 2020 with a slightly better order book than what we had in 2019. We have seen some slowdown in Q4 in the marketplace. And that is not everywhere, but we have seen some regions in Europe having a slower pace, but also some of our business units we have seen have a slower pace. Sales, however, up 6%, and EBITDA was roughly on par with 2018. As you know, we grow sales, so EBITDA margin is coming up on 7.2% versus 7.7%. The free cash flow was 203 million, which is better than what we had in 2019. And we have worked a lot to improve working capital. And I think we have come a bit on that journey, but I think we also have still more to go. And what also is happy is that we see the net debt equity ratio coming down from 3.5 to 3, which is also an improvement, of course, of 0.2 compared to Q3. On the general slowdown, I also want to say that we have detailed actions now in place to make sure that we have both the right customer but also the right innovation focus to handle such a situation. I'm turning then to full year 2019, which is slide 6. If you look then on the full year and how we performed, we increased our order intake with 5%. We had a 6% sales growth, and we had an EBITDA of 321 million, and a margin of 5.9. We of course, on if you look on our financial development, you can see that the major results effect due to dual structures when we are now rolling out the new business organization has an effect, of course. And that is also why we are working very hard with the cost from our side. And we have also seen that cash management in some areas in the world have been facing some tougher times due to their project structure of the business. On the full year, we had a cash flow which was on par with Q4, which of course also says that we were very heavy on improving our cash flow during Q4 here. Moving into next slide and an update on the cost efficiency program, which we informed you about in July. 100 million, if you remember, with full effect from 2020 half year. This is fully online and is being implemented as planned. And so far, if you take the full year, we have taken 53 million of that program. And the majority of that is taken in Q4. And that is also something you see in the financial reports. And this is a mix, of course, of productivity improvement in Europe, and that's in safe storage and integrated security mainly, and also to dismantle now the regional structures of Asia and America. So that is the full rollout of the business unit structure. And I should also say that the charges here of the 53 is mainly people-related. Moving on to comment then on the proposed dividend. After the introduction now of what we have done, the product-focused organization or the business unit approach, we are now ready to move into the next phase of our development as a company. And what has been done also, as I mentioned, we have done a new share issue of some 360 million during 2019, and we have used around 250 of those already for acquisitions. And the board estimates now that the continued strengthening of the group's balance sheet will increase our scope for action in the coming year. And therefore, the board has proposed no dividend for the financial year 2019. And I want to comment as well that this is, of course, a divergent from the long-term dividend policy. And this should be regarded as a one-time and a temporary action to help us to drive Unibo forward. Moving in then to the business units. Starting with Entrance Control. Entrance Control had a very good year last year, and they have been able both to grow and build their business for the future in a very good way. We also had all-time high sales with Entrance Control during Q4. We saw a growth in order intake for the full year of 29%, and for Q4, we had 6%, and also quite heavy growth targets or growth results, both on quarter as well as on full year. And part of this growth is Cominfo, but we have also had a very good development in many of our customer segments and in all our regions. And this is an area where we are proceeding with high pace and tempo to continue to develop this business in a good way. We also had an all-time high EBITDA in Q4 of 76 million, giving us a margin of around 18%, and full year they delivered 204 million here with a margin of 15.6%. Also, as I want to mention, they have been very well handling the integration of Cominfo and are also very much focusing on developing the business, both with customers and driving innovation here going forward. Moving into Safe Storage, where I also have the pleasure of leading, we had a slower demand in the last quarter, Q4. For the full year, though, we had a growth roughly of 2%. And from a sales perspective as well, full year was plus 6%. And a slight decline in Q4 here. This is due to phasing of sales of our OEM business, but we have also seen in some regions a general slowdown in the market, UK as one example there, which we saw during the fall was not performing overall as a market as we had expected. We delivered an EBITDA of 42 million and a margin of 8.1%. And for the full year then, 144 versus 151, resulting in a 7.1% margin. And I want to comment on why we have a lower margin in Safe Storage. And we have today built up, of course, this business unit approach, and by that also acquired double structures for a while. And this is something I'm addressing now by the cost efficiency program. What we have also done, because I think we have invested much too little during the last years in Safe Storage and innovations there, and that is something that I have strengthened now for 2019, and that will continue also in 2020. And we believe very much that innovation and new segments outside the bank market will be important for us. The bank market will continue, of course, to be one of our segments where we are very, very well known and very well performing, but growth will come in new segments there. Moving into cash management, we had a order intake in Q4 which was weak. And also full year, this has been weak, I could say. We have an overall soft market demand, and that is also in certain regions we have seen that development. We have a contract-based business, where it's often large contracts which can be phased. And I also want to comment that we had a strong Q4 2018. Net sales declined 10% in Q4 and 9% for the full year. And what we are doing here now is working on a number of levers, of course, addressing the cost structure in the business unit. And we are very active now on launches, broadening the customer base and focus on areas where we see cash growth. We have, for example, sent out a press release about our cooperation with Loomis. That was, however, done now in Q1, but there are a lot of things going on there to address that situation. They had an EBITDA for Q4 of 20 million and a margin of 7.3 and 68 million in the full year with a 6.6 margin. And this is, of course, a situation or a result which I and Christian, who is leading this, is not happy with, and we are working diligently and very hard to address and fix this. The lower margin then, coming back very shortly to that, is of course explained by we see a drop in sales volume in all regions. There are some channels, however, that are growing in some regions, but overall We also see a mix effect where we are transition now more and more into a distributed sales structure, mainly via big CITs. And we are also, of course, continuing to invest in growing customer segments and innovation. We have some commercial highlights in the quarter, moving into slide 13. And for the entrance control business, which is a global business, I think we have had some very interesting development in the mass transit segment. Airports, where we have been very successful, both in Asia, Europe, and the US. I think that we have also shown that we are very, very competent partner also for large complex projects with very demanding buyers. So I think that we can do a lot in this area. I think we have also started to get into the stadia segment, which is growing with a number of premium projects that we have taken, for example, in the UK with some of the big Premier League clubs on the major stadiums there. The safe storage has had a fairly busy year launching Kelnet, which is a new lock that has been very successfully launched starting in Germany. Good development for our robots for safety deposit lockers. We have also seen and followed a number of new market segments like distribution. Go-to-market strategy, where we have launched InSafe during 2019 Q4, and actually also we sent out a press release around in Q1 now, but focusing on Q4, it was InSafe, and a lot of focus on our branding structure and how we can implement that in a good way. In the USA as well, you can see that we are also a trusted partner to the key brands in many segments. JP Morgan, for example, on the banking side is one example of that. Cash, they've had good order intake in a number of areas. However, as I said, overall, we are working on improving that. They have rolled out the SafePay in South of Europe to several big retail chains. And also in Australia, we have received a major order from a large multinational retailer here to help them with their cash management handling. Moving into integrated security, had a weak year in 2019. Order intake was -2 in Q4 and -7 full year. And also the net sales was down 15% and -6 for the full year. EBITDA was 5 million for the quarter, 1.7 margin, and for the full year then we had 17 million, resulting in an improvement from 0 up to 1.5%. This is of course not okay, and we are working, and I am working very hard on this business unit. And we have had a strategic review on this, and as an effect of that strategic review, we have recorded IACs in Q4 of close to 30 million, an impairment of close to 30 million as well. This business unit will get a new name, and I'm moving to the next page, page 15 here, on the agenda now going forward, because I want to comment on this specifically for 2020, what we do based on this strategic review. First, when we have looked at this business, we see that we have some synergies in customer and products with other business units, entrance and safe storage mainly. It's four specific areas there that we are going to move into safe storage and entrance control. And we will come back more to that, of course, on the new reporting structure and also the restated historical financials in Q1 2020. I'm also changing the name to other business, which better represents now the new nature of this business, which is actually a combination of integrated security, fire business, and electronic article surveillance. So, and I also want to say that the remaining assets then, which stays, which is roughly 800 million within this new other business, is still under strategic review. And I hope that I can revert to you, or I will revert to you there as soon as I have news on that front. If you just look then at the overview, you can see, I think I have covered this, so I don't want to dwell too much on that. I think entrance control are moving ahead, and we have a lot of things that is working there, hard to improve that. Safe storage, very much driving innovation. Cash management, we have a clear plan on how to go forward, and as I just mentioned, integrated security, we are working hard and diligently on. With that, Susanne, I move over to you and the financial update.
Thank you, Stefan, and good morning, everyone. So we are now on page 17, the summary of the quarter, and this Stefan has very much already commented upon. So just short then, the order intake for the quarter amounted to 1,143,000,000, and that represented then a minus 8% year on year, or minus 13% in constant currency. For the year then, we continued to have a growth, 5% or 2% in constant currencies. Moving on to net sales, we had 1.5 billion of sales, and we had an increase of 6% in the quarter, while year to date then we had an increase on 6%, also 3% in constant currency. The EBITA, the internal profit measure EBITA for the group amounted to 109 million and was very much in line with last year. The full year ended at 321 compared to 334 last year. And as we have talked about, this result is negatively impacted by mainly two things, both the dual structures while rolling out the new business unit organization, but also the cash management facing business contraction. Looking into the items between EBITA and EBIT, we have amortization of acquisition-related intangible assets, and that amounted to minus 35 in the quarter. And that is explained by including an impairment of acquisition-related intangibles of 29 million, and that was also linked to integrated security. Last year, quarter four, we had a similar item of minus 10 impairment, also integrated security-related. Full year amounted to minus 47 compared to minus 40 last year. The one-off cost, the IAC cost in the quarter, were high and in line with our plan. They amounted to minus 68 million compared to minus 30 last year. Of these minus 68, 45 of them were linked to the cost efficiency program that we launched in July, and 23 to former programs, mainly related to the structural review of integrated security. That means that for the full year, we have one-off cost that amounted to 91 million, where 53 refers to the cost efficiency program, and a net of 38 includes finalized programs, structural review of integrated, and a net then of the profit of sale of property in Portugal. The cost efficiency program, as Stefan said, is reconfirmed to end at 60, which means that there is only 7 million to go in the first part of next year. And the full year savings are reconfirmed to be on 100 million annually with full speed as from the half year 2020. This is then the explanation of the EBIT that ended at 9 for the quarter compared to 67 last year, and the full year of 192 compared to 265. And then as you can see then on the graph on page 19, there is a big discrepancy then consequently from what is the EBIT result and the EBITA result due to these impairments and one-off costs then. And if we just look at the one-off costs then, for the EBIT for the full year of 192 compared to 265. In the EBIT this year, we have 120 million of impairments and one-offs, while we had 51 of those last year. So if we have tried to neutralize that, it means that we have an EBIT on par with last year. Some words on the EBITA bridge, page 20. So from a sales growth perspective, since we have an organic sales growth in constant currency on 3% year over year, that means that we have a positive EBITA impact of 15 million for the quarter and more than 60 for the full year. The structural effect is explained by savings from implemented efficiency measures and was 18 in the quarter and 48 for the full year. The ongoing cost efficiency program contributed by 10 in the quarter and 14 for the full year. So that is already starting to hit the P&L. Third point is currency, and we have been helped on currency throughout the year. 6% in the quarter and 20 for the full year. And the main part of that is translation effects. Last then is the item other, which was in the quarter minus 40 and minus 142 for the full year. And this is then explained of the positive product mix, however, offset then by the overhead cost charges and loss of associated companies. And I think we have talked about that we have had a lot of dual structures this year. And then, of course, the consequence of this is that the structural impact will then come and contribute and take that down as time goes forward. All in all, year to date, we had an EBITA development of a negative minus 13. Sales growth, implemented productivity measures and currency were offset by the overhead cost structure now being addressed then. Moving on to page 21 and commenting on the items below operating profit, starting with finance net. That amounted to minus 18 in the quarter and was in line with last year. And then we have to remind ourselves that we have this year an impact on the IFRS 16 leasing effect of 4, meaning that the underlying finance net has decreased compared to last year. And this decrease then is consequently explained by decreased interest as well as decreased borrowing, which is now the positive trend coming forward. The full year finance net increased to minus 76. There is an IFRS 16 effect of 14, but also the finance net is explained by a relatively higher borrowing rate and also by that higher interest and bank expenses throughout the year. Income taxes for the quarter amounted to 16 million and 71 for the full year. The effective tax rate, which is high then, is impacted by the impairment charges, losses not recognized, and also the lost tax case that we recorded in quarter two earlier this year. All in all, the net profit for the quarter amounted to a negative 25 and 45 for the full year. Earnings per share was 55 öre for the full year. Considering the right issue that was completed in the end of September, we just have to notice that the weighted average number of shares has been significantly impacted by this in the fourth quarter. The weighted average is 95.5, while we had 76.4 million shares last year. If we would adjust for one-offs, the earnings per share would have been 91 öre in the quarter and 2.25 krona for the full year, and that adjusted would then be in line with last year's level. Moving on to cash flow, the operating cash flow of the quarter was a strong 259 compared to 162 last year. Excluding the lease impact of 28, the main reason for the improvement was the change in working capital, where we saw a positive 238 compared to 88 last year. This was then partly offset by higher taxes paid and changes in pensions, provisions and payments. Year to date, we have an operating cash flow of 384 vis-à-vis 242 last year. Investing cash flow reflected the same level of investment in the quarter, while lower year to date compared to last year. Year to date, we are including a plus 34 of cash from sales of plant and property, while last year only included a positive 13. Finally, free cash flow ended at 203 for the quarter compared to 133 last year and 197 million for the full year compared to 124. And I just want to bring up that we have adjusted this measure to exclude any IFRS 16 lease impact. So these two periods are then fully comparable. Page 21 is then just illustrating the free cash flow by quarter for the last 3 years. And we can see that we have had a very strong end of the year with a high focus on the cash flow. My last slide would then be the net debt EBITDA. And we are, of course, pleased to see that our net debt is coming down. Net debt including pension liabilities amounted to 1761 million and was decreased by 238 million in the quarter. This decrease was mainly due to the decrease in loans through the repayment of the temporary increase in the credit facilities during the third quarter, but also from the free cash flow. The IFRS 16 lease has impacted our net debt, adding 248 million financial liabilities to our closing balance net debt. The EBITDA rolling 12 amounted to 447 million, including both the depreciation of IFRS 16 lease rights to use assets and the pro forma full year of Cominfo. Using this in the net debt EBITDA calculation, we are then improving this ratio from 3.2 in the quarter 3 to a 3.0 at the end of the year, which is then comparable to the 3.5 last year. Similarly, the net debt, including pensions in related to EBITDA, improved from 4.1 to 3.9. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Susanne. Moving forward then to Focus 2020 for a stronger and more profitable Gunnebo. I want to say a couple of words there on that as well. For 2020, the focus is, of course, to continue to fine-tune now the business unit approach that we have implemented and start to get the benefits from this structure where we have a much higher customer focus, high transparency, and these global structures from start to end. We also, of course, need to handle the higher degree of uncertainty, and I think you have heard from many companies that it's a lot of things going on there. We, for example, in China have a factory. We also have a big market in China. And this is, of course, with dual heart you talk about this, because in one instance we have a lot of people there that we care about, and we hope that everything will be well there. And on one hand, of course, we have a lot of business there that we want to have the opportunity to perform. What we are doing here is staying close to customers and the markets, and we are also constantly working with being diligent and agile in having plans for handling diverse situations. And I think this is one of the key areas which is also very difficult for companies to maintain now going forward. We have, as I said, partly because of the business unit, but also because we have strategically said this is the way to go, a much higher focus on solving customer needs based on innovations. And this will help us also to find exciting opportunities in new segments going forward. We are optimizing our business portfolio with a number of actions, and I mentioned for you the strategic review of other business, which I'm personally attending to as well. And here we hope that we can come back to you during the year with some strategic decisions, which is good for Gunnebo and its shareholders. M&A as an opportunity to improve market position is for us more and more important. and we are going to drive this as a high strategic priority going forward. Cost is not going to go away, the cost focus. This is something we need to learn how to do in the going business going forward. And my ambition is not to run with IAC costs together with the team here, but make sure that we drive our business and take necessary actions constantly if needed. Employees, of course, and the operational excellence that we need to deliver is key for us. And we have during the year spent a lot of time on looking at and talking to our employees on how we can improve together by surveys and by trainings, and we are spending quite a lot of time on this. Of course, now to follow the financial targets per business unit. And this is also something that I will come back to going forward. I believe that now we are driving our business as business units, and then we also need to be very clear on what the financial targets are in that dimension, because the diversity between our business units are not great, but we have a diversity, of course, as you are all aware. So these are things that we are focusing on and that you can also expect from me and from my team and from Gunnebo as a company. And I have a lot of confidence that we are doing right things and good things. And my ambition is that that should also come out in the financial numbers going forward here. Moving to the financial calendar, I want to announce also the plans for 2020. We plan to have the annual report ready the 23rd of March. We'll publish that. And 2 weeks later, roughly, the printed version should be ready as well. The 21st of April, we plan to launch the Q1 report and also hold the annual general meeting there. And then we have the Q2 report planned for 17th of July and the Q3 report planned for 4th of November 2020. Yeah. So that's the financial calendar which I wanted to make you aware of. My last point on the agenda is that I want to also extend a very big thank you to Susanne Larsson, who is going to start another new challenge, and you have been with us for roughly 5 years. Susanne has contributed greatly now to preparing Gunnebo and helping us now to drive many of the actions that I have mentioned here. And I want to thank you for that, and I want to wish you all the best of luck, Susanne. I also want to say hi and welcome to Åke Bengtsson, who will take over from Susanne here during the day. And Åke comes latest from Haldex, where he has held the CEO and CFO positions for the last years. And Åke and myself will be a great team now. And I hope that we will also show that to you in the financial numbers going forward. Thank you very much. With that, I would like to open up for Q&A.
Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, if you do wish to ask a question, please press 0 and then 1 on your telephone keypad now. Just as a reminder, that was 01 if you wish to ask a question. And it doesn't look like we have any questions registered at the moment, so I'll hand the call back to the speakers. Please go ahead.
Okay, then I would like to say thank you for calling in, and I wish you all a good day and a good weekend.
And this now concludes the conference call. Thank you all for attending. You may now disconnect your line.